Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
In the very first line of our gospel lesson for today, Jesus blows his friends and those who listen out of the water by redefining who are the saints. Right out of the gate, he says, "Blessed are you who are poor and hungry and weeping." In some ways, not at all unlike our own society, we don't and they don't and didn't consider being poor to be a blessing. In fact, if you were poor, it's entirely likely you were poor because that's the way it was supposed to be. Or even worse, you were poor because someone made a terrible sin against God or against someone else early in your life. And you're poor because you're supposed to be poor, and that certainly doesn't mean that you are blessed. Certainly not from a moral point of view, a societal point of view, much less from a life point of view. If you were wealthy and you heard these words, you wondered if Jesus had gone crazy. And if you were poor and you heard these words, you would have thought Jesus had gone crazy. You would have said, "Well, Jesus, do you know what it is to be poor? What it's like to not have enough and to be hungry? To not know where your next meal is going to be? To watch your children die of starvation? How is that being blessed?" It seems clear to them as it seems to us that the blessings seem to be poured out on the wealthy, and that in fact to be wealthy is to be blessed. So right out of the gate, Jesus leaves us in the dust. Blessed are you when people hate you and revile you and say all kinds of horrible things about you on my account. Imagine being a politician the last few weeks. "I feel so blessed. This has been great, don't you think?" Of course not. Over and over and over again, Jesus names blessed that which we cannot see as being blessed. And then to make matters worse, "Woe to all of us, you rich people, you who are full now." I felt particularly convicted. "Woe to you who are laughing, you jolly, annoying people. And woe to you when you have garnered all of the respect and things that you think you have earned because of your position and fine moral life. Woe to you who have those speak well of you." Jesus turns everything on its head, and somewhere in there is the gospel. Jesus says, "Blessed for all of you that the world says are not blessed, and woe to you, all of you that the world calls saints." And then the "but." "But I tell you, love your enemies. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Because I want you to do to others as you would have them do to you. That pithy little saying that all of us learned in kindergarten. What's the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Unfortunately, so often we've relegated that pithy little saying to the lovely decorated covers, between the lovely decorated covers of a Hallmark card that you read, having paid $7 for it, and then throw away. But look at the context. This pithy little saying comes within the context of Jesus calling for radical love in the midst of a broken world. Suddenly, it's not pithy at all. Jesus calls for nothing less than the radical transformation of who we are because of God's love. The poor are blessed because God has pronounced God's blessing upon them. And the hungry will be fed with the fullness of God's love that was denied them by society. All of that is being poured out freely and abundantly in Christ, for Christ, through Christ. Now, it's hard for us in our society to see things quite that way. Because everything we read and everything we do and every way in which we live draws us into the world's ways to appreciate only wealth and ignore the poor. To act as if somehow, if we just had a little bit more, we would be a little happier. But it's never enough. I think when Jesus calls us to love our enemies and to see blessing where no one else sees blessing, he talks of nothing short of the transformational power of the gospel. God truly is, I said last week, loose in the world, and loose in a way that we don't even want to begin to understand, because it would call for our own transformation, our own being remade. Love our enemies? I grew up in a family with four boys. That's not even possible. Care for those who I don't even know? If someone strikes me on the cheek, offer them the other one. If someone steals my coat, give them also my shirt? Really? Yeah. But how? How can I do it? How can we live that way? I don't think that there's anything metaphorical about this story at all. I think we are called to a radical life where anger is met with blessing, where being drawn out of ourselves and our own ways gives us life in the Spirit. I wish I had an easy way to just flip a switch and say, well, you know, what we really need to do is just believe a little bit more so that we could be those good saints, but that's not what God calls us to. What Luther understood so clearly is that we are avaristic and we are mechanistic and we love our stuff and we love ourselves. But that transformation is happening in us in the gospel. And it's happening for the sake of God. And so with each hymn and each moment and each sip of wine and crust of bread and each conversation and in each act of goodwill, we live out our sainthood a bit at a time. What's beautiful about this text is God does not expect you to come into this place as saints, with pews reserved toward the front for those of you who are a little extra holy, and a special place in the nave closet for the rest of us. But God sends you out as saints, remade in radical love, so that you can be saints for the world, for all the saints. Amen.